Welcome, welcome, welcome inside a Tuesday edition of the program Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN. Glad you're with us. Lots of local conversation coming your way here in the next 60 minutes of your day. Kyle Smedley from the Ball State Daily News is going to join us as we talk a major matchup for Ball State men's basketball coming up tonight. It is at home and it is against Eastern Michigan. We'll talk about the details related to this matchup coming up here in a matter of moments. Ball State women's basketball slated for national TV. We'll talk about that coming up here in a little bit as well. Also, this might be a longer form conversation, but I don't know if you guys do this, but I certainly do. When the NFL coaching carousel that we're in, we are no longer talking about game results from over the weekend. It's all the speculation as to if the Cowboys and Eagles will have openings, if the Pittsburgh Steelers will have an opening. Mike Tomlin says he's going to be back. Hey, could Bill Belichick fit here? Could he fit there? Is Jim Harbaugh coming into the NFL? And you know, unfortunately so for the Philadelphia Eagles last night, it's another example in a former assistant for the Indianapolis Colts, Nick Sirianni, that it is very hard to replenish your staff. And I'm going to tell you why, even more so, the Colts look better and better and better for their hiring of Shane Steichen. And I'll tell you why that's the case coming up here in about 20 minutes or so. Because, again, we always bring this back to the Indianapolis Colts. We always do. From what you see with these playoff teams, we addressed that on yesterday's program. But it has been a while since you can honestly say they got it right at head coach. I don't know if I felt that way about Frank Reich early on. While, yes, they had success early on, you're kind of waiting for things to continue moving forward. At the end of the day, as these conversations happen with, by the way, two very marquee franchises in the Cowboys and Eagles, I sit back and I say, you know what? It is kind of a luxury to be able to sit back if you're an Indianapolis Colts fan or executive and say, you don't have to worry about that this offseason. And it goes straight into a couple of things that I think maybe have gone unnoticed this season for Indianapolis. So we'll dive into that conversation as well on the program today. Calls welcome at 765-287-1340 at Mark WMUN on Twitter. We'll take all your reaction, thoughts, comments on those platforms right here. Well, it goes without saying, as we talked a little bit about it yesterday, Ball State men's basketball, The words must win happen way too much. Oh, this is a must win. Oh, you got to win this to prove that you're a player in the Mid-American Conference. Oh, you got to show that you're for real. You know, all those sorts of things. And so I'm not going to do that. I don't like the must win situation. I ask others if they consider it a must win. The must win stuff is kind of ridiculous because especially in football, every game's a must win. You know, in basketball, would you say the urgency of having 30 games compared to having 12 in college football? Yeah, the urgency is very, very different, no question about it. But you can't tell me any game is less important than the other. We know how important conference play is. And at the end of the day, they've been close. They haven't gotten the job done. And maybe that opportunity comes tonight. But you wouldn't say it sounds so, I don't know, debate show oriented to say, oh, this is a must win. They want to win every time they go out there, and they want to win especially every time they're at home. And tonight, it's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity coming off what was a very difficult week last week. But at the same time, the opponent feels like a matchup that you should do very well in. It's kind of interesting. Eastern Michigan, the matchup in Ball State, is a favorite, a slight favorite at 1.5 in this game. I would imagine part of that goes into the home record, goes into maybe some common opponent-related items, and both of these teams are very interesting. Ball State hasn't done well on the road. Eastern Michigan has not done well on the road. Ball State's done well at home. Eastern Michigan has done well at home as well. I would say quality of opponents in non-conference play, I would say Ball State has gotten to that threshold more so than has Eastern Michigan. So hopefully that aids you in a game tonight. Through four conference games, here are the matchups and what they've had so far. Bowling Green on the road, Kent State at home, Central Michigan at home, and Miami of Ohio on the road. So they have not seen Akron. They have not seen Toledo. Ball State's conference slate has been more difficult early on than Eastern Michigan. You know, because these two teams haven't played, these are the guides that you go after. These are the things that you kind of look at and say, okay, where are the matchups there? Ball State scores 7 more points per game than does Eastern Michigan. Ball State gives up 4 points less a game than Eastern Michigan. From a statistical standpoint, Ball State has a little bit of an edge. Now, again, you're going to have some numbers that are skewed. I think some of the Goshen matchups and those sorts of things might skew some of the numbers there. But I look at this and I say, you know what? You go to very different reactions here. If you don't get this win, I think you start to ask some questions. At 0-5, you start to say you're getting into what I don't like to describe, as I just mentioned, the must-win category. And by the way, a win doesn't solve everything, but I would imagine because, again, in Mid-American Conference basketball, you go Tuesday, Saturday for the most part. So I would imagine Kent State's going to play some basketball tonight. Ohio's going to play some basketball tonight, and Buffalo will do the exact same. Those are the teams at 1-3 in conference play. Oh, by the way, Northern Illinois at 0-4 will likely play tonight as well. The point of the matter is this. You win tonight, you could realistically be ranked 7th or 8th in the Mid-American Conference for whatever that is worth. It is so far away to start talking about positioning for conference play, but aesthetically, it might make you feel a little bit better as a Ball State men's basketball fan. Just throwing that out there. So, again, Eastern Michigan's lost 2 in a row. Ball State's lost their last 6. But clearly, what they accomplished, I don't know if you would necessarily say accomplished, because accomplishing is winning basketball games. But what they put on the floor from a competitiveness standpoint, I think you could argue, and maybe down the road you argue this more so, if Ball State's to turn it around and have themselves a good couple of weeks, I think you circle this past week, the Tuesday matchup with Akron at home and what you were able to battle in over the weekend against Toledo in a 5-point loss. You lost to those two teams by a combined 9 points. Again, you got to get wins. Got to get wins. And I'm mistaken, by the way. Ball State's on the road here. Whoops. My bad. Ball State's on the road. I had that all mixed up because I was looking at a bunch of different things at once. That's what happens. I still remain with those things. I think Ball State, again, matches up really well against Eastern Michigan. The numbers look that way. And again, you come off of a week where you were tested by both of the better teams in the Mid-American Conference. And you've got to come into this and say, from a confidence standpoint, we need to take care of teams like Eastern Michigan, against teams like Miami of Ohio, Buffalo, Northern Illinois. It's the middle to bottom of the conference right now that if you're going to get yourself back into this thing, if you're going to put yourself in the middle of the conference conversation, it's wins like this you have to get. Now, that's not to say you go in with confidence in this game and say, hey, we're going to roll in there, and because we played Toledo to a 5-point game, because we played Toledo to a 4-point game against Akron, we're going to walk in and roll. And that's often what sometimes when you have those two great results, even in losses, and you feel confidence from the way you played in those games, that's sometimes what happens. You know, it's described as you're playing to your competition. I don't necessarily think it's that. You come in and say, we can play our way and win this game, and maybe you just get a little bit of lax going. And so that would be a little bit of a concern, because as we've seen these up and down moments from Ball State, and while you have a week where you feel like you got something cooking, and then the next time you come out, it doesn't look that way. And, you know, Michael Lewis, Ball State men's basketball coach, has been very honest about the ups and downs moments of this season. You know, the Kent State game didn't feel great. The Central Michigan game didn't feel great. You felt a little bit better about the competitiveness against Akron. You felt a little bit better about the Toledo game. And then maybe the breakthrough, or the so-called maybe breakthrough, was the second half against Indiana State. You know, again, I think it comes down to this: how hard they play and the way they compete in games is incredibly important to the staff, incredibly important to the head coach. But it all comes down to wins and losses. And tonight looks like an absolute opportunity. So let me talk about it from an optimistic Ball State men's basketball standpoint. What I liked the most about Saturday against Toledo. Okay? Your leading scorer this season is Bashir Jihad. He is also your leading rebounder. It feels like when I watch telecasts, when I listen to other radio games of Ball State men's basketball, he goes to the top of the scouting report. Naturally. He does, because of what he can do inside, outside, and he is a pretty good defender at the rim. You know, I feel like when you maybe talk to other coaches and you ask them the question, hey, what stands out about Ball State tonight? Immediately, number one on that scouting report seems to be Bashir Jihad. He's been the most consistent offensive player. He's a guy in the middle. You know, all the things we just talked about. So if that's true for most teams as they focus on Ball State, then you had to love the way that Saturday ended up against Toledo. It was one of the first couple of games that you've seen where Ball State was led by your backcourt, led by some of that supporting cast. And it was Davion Bailey, and it was Jalen Anderson. Jalen Anderson was fantastic. And when Jalen Anderson plays really, really well, Ball State plays really, really well. He put 25 on the board, but it reminded me a little bit of Game 2 of this season when Ball State faced Old Dominion at Worthen Arena and Jalen Anderson dropped 29. They went as Jalen Anderson went, and everybody else kind of rose to the occasion that way. Jalen Anderson was the aggressor, and it allowed Bashir Jihad to kind of integrate himself a little bit. And you know, I just wonder on the sidelines for teams when, you know, teams take away that number one option or the so-called number one guy on the scouting report, which it feels like, again, as I listen and hear from other coaches as they describe Ball State, it's Bashir that they focus on first. And when they neutralize him, and yet you still have guys that maybe 2, 3, and 4 on the scouting report. Jalen Anderson played really well. Davion Bailey played really well. Now, that's not to say you want to go into every game and not have Bashir Jihad, you know, lead you. Of course, you'd want a guy who's averaging 18-7 a game to start really well. But it shows that you can adjust in multiple ways to not just compete but win basketball games. Because I think if there's been anything about this team this year, as we've talked to Coach about and seen throughout the year, the adjustment part and the learning curve part has been an issue over the last 4 weeks. And in a lot of ways, that's what stood out to me in the Toledo game, not the fact that they lost by 5 and, oh, they competed really hard. They had to navigate that in a little bit of a different way than what they have done throughout the season, because they just expect on the floor that Bashir Jihad is a matchup problem because of the way he can handle the basketball, the way he can step out on the perimeter, and the way he can play inside, that, you know, that's going to draw a lot of attention. And Jalen Anderson and Davion Bailey played really well for you, especially Jalen Anderson, who was absolutely fantastic. And an aggressive Jalen Anderson is really good news for Ball State men's basketball. So to me, that is awesome for the growth and development of this team. If they can continue to build on that, especially knowing that on most nights you're going about 6-7 deep. In that game, you went 7 deep. And in the previous game, you really went 6 deep, with Ben Hendricks being the primary sub. And, you know, I thought Trent Middleton Jr. had some nice moments against Toledo. I really, really do. But at the end of the day, this lineup is the depth is a little bit limited right now. It absolutely is. So it puts more emphasis on, hey, you got to get some big moments from Jalen Anderson and Davion Bailey. And coming into the season, I think that was the number one question about this team was, hey, how is the backcourt going to be electric from an offensive standpoint? And I think, you know, since Davion Bailey has come back, it's made Jalen Anderson better and vice versa. I think they make each other better because when Bailey was out with injury, I think Anderson maybe hit the roughest stretch of his season for the most part. So having both of those guys going is massive. So I am incredibly intrigued tonight about this matchup against Eastern Michigan, and it is a big game, but you will not hear the must-win stuff. We'll talk to Kyle Smedley from the Ball State Daily News and maybe ask him about it a little bit. But the takeaways from last week and how you can translate that, I think all the good feeling that maybe you had respectively against Akron and Toledo last week, if you don't look worth a darn tonight, I think that good feeling and confidence kind of goes out the window. So they understand that, but this is a big opportunity. What if I told you? You're going to hear it for the next couple of weeks. So if you're tired of hearing it, you're going to hear it a lot more. You are judged in this conference by what you do against the middle to bottom of the conference. You have to battle with the top. I get that. But there are more teams in the middle to bottom that you got to handle. You know, I remember the couple that Ball State had last year, and it maybe cost them a number two, a number one seed last year. You, at the end of the year, going into the tournament, you're going to look at what you did against, I would say, Miami of Ohio to Eastern Michigan to Kent State to Ohio to Buffalo to Northern Illinois. Now, the true middle to bottom of this conference may not be well-defined, but I think we have a decent idea of what it kind of looks like. But you're going to be judged on that. You are. At the end of the year, that is what you're going to focus on. No question about it. So, Ball State men's basketball at Eastern Michigan, a matchup tonight that tips off at 7 o'clock. I think it's going to be an interesting matchup, and full reaction to that as we head into tomorrow's show. Thanks to those of you joining us on Facebook Live, as you always, always do. Speaking of big moments, how about Ball State women's basketball? They will have prime time national TV on CBS Sports Network coming up on Sunday with the big clash with Toledo. Big matchup. Big matchup for Ball State women's basketball. Toledo at 4-0 in conference. Ball State at 4-0 in conference. And Ball State's 14-2. Toledo is 11-3. Now, there is a game in between this, right? So you have Central Michigan coming up tomorrow. Central Michigan is a 1-3 conference team, 2-11 overall this season. You know, I kind of wonder, and you can't really, control the timing of when things come out. But yeah, there's definitely a bit of excitement to the fact that you're going to have that matchup coming up on Sunday. But man, you know, you got a game to prepare for. And again, as we've seen early on, like a game against Buffalo, a game against Akron, they haven't been easy. Right? You've had to win in a variety of ways. So at the end of the day, you got to figure yourself out in those games. And, you know, the distraction, if it is as exciting as it is to have the moment against Toledo coming up on Sunday, you want to make sure you take care of business on Wednesday to set up what is expected to be a really fun atmosphere on Sunday. Ball State in Toledo, 6 o'clock at Worthen Arena. But we'll preview the Central Michigan game coming up a little bit later tomorrow. So lots of Ball State basketball, lots of it. Important matchups for both teams coming into this week and going into the weekend as well. All right, when we come back, you know, sometimes I'm in my car, I'm listening to other sports talk programs, and I just hear the national conversation, and it immediately leads me to how this relates to the Colts. And maybe it wasn't today, maybe it was an accumulation of the last couple of weeks of this NFL coaching cycle, if you will. And I don't know if this is covered the way it should be in Indianapolis to say what I'm about to tell you coming up here in about 5 minutes or so. And it's a positive thing for the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, I guess, do I have a reputation of being negative about the Colts? I don't know. Maybe I'm just too honest. But I'll tell you something from a positive point of view for the Indianapolis Colts coming up here in a little bit about coaching and what the Colts don't have to worry about anymore. So we'll get to that coming up. Also, Kyle Smedley from the Ball State Daily News at 4:40 will stop by the program and break down what to expect tonight in Ball State Eastern Michigan and Ball State men's basketball. Coming your way next on a Tuesday show right after this Power Talk among CWMUN. Yes, welcome back, Power Talk of Muncie. The new WMUN is always brought to you by State Farm agent Jason May. Make sure you get all the discounts you deserve by calling Jason at 747-7100 today. Glad you're with us in the program, as you always are. Kyle Smedley with us in less than 15 minutes from now as we preview what's coming up. Ball State men's basketball at Eastern Michigan, a big-time matchup as Ball State looks to get conference win number one of the season. So this just dawned on me as I was listening to several shows throughout the day. It is the coaching carousel, and I gotta be honest, like, in a way, you might be happy that you aren't in this current cycle, because I think that there are three jobs that take immediate precedence over everybody else. That is, if Dallas and Philadelphia move on from their current head coaches, and then the Chargers have a what is supposed franchise quarterback, top 10 guy in Justin Herbert. So again, you know, you always look at the situation and how you could jump in and make an impact right away and all those sorts of things. But it maybe should lead you to give more credit to the Indianapolis Colts in finding Shane Steichen. Because how many times has it happened where it's the hot offensive coordinator, the hot defensive coordinator that just went to the AFC, NFC, or Super Bowl championship level of games, and they happen to be on the ride with, maybe a great head coach, but the coordinator always gets that next opportunity to either interview or, you know, have their pick of what head coaching job there is. And honestly, I think it's a very realistic point that you should have had concern that Shane Steichen was a product of a really talented roster that had a special skill set at quarterback and had a couple great coordinators, and they everything kind of worked together at once. Because it happens all the time. You go after the hot offensive coordinator, you go after the hot defensive coordinator, and it doesn't work out. And you tend to find, wow, they were absolutely a product of their system. And I think Bill Belichick's a perfect example of this. Perfect example of this. How many of his assistants worked out elsewhere? I mean, Romeo Crennel, Charlie Weiss, Josh McDaniels, to name a few. You go up and down the list, Bill O'Brien. I mean, you go up and down the list of different assistants that were under him. It didn't go well. And then you got a tree like Kyle Shanahan. You got a tree like Andy Reid. And it's kind of interesting, either the system is the head coach, or the system is I am the CEO and I'm going to hire great assistants around me. And to Nick Sirianni's credit, I think he did a really good job of putting Shane Steichen in the position he was in. If you know the story, Sirianni, year number one, halfway through the year, gave the play calling duties over to Shane Steichen. And from that point till last year at the end, just falling short in the Super Bowl, Philadelphia was unstoppable offensively with what they were doing and the physicality in which they did it with largely the same personnel. And then Jonathan Gannon was the defensive coordinator, and he gets the job at Arizona. And it kind of was almost a pity hire by Arizona, or at least that's how it was described nationally. And now Arizona's getting praised for the fact that they hired Jonathan Gannon. So, you know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, obviously you've got to take a chance on young coaches. Like, Sean McVay was an offensive coordinator. So, I think he's worked out quite well. Kyle Shanahan was an offensive coordinator. And these guys were hired as head coaches after being coordinators. So, you got to go through this. You got to do it. But just imagine, had the Colts, and again, you know, he's still got a lot more to prove. They didn't make the playoffs, but they certainly overcame a lot this year, which should give you optimism. But you are not one of these teams out there saying, well, we don't want to make a mistake on this one. I mean, what the Raiders are going through, what the Panthers are going through, what other the Commanders are going through. I'm not talking about the Cowboys, the Eagles. Those structures are set up for success. I tend to think the Chargers are as well. But it kind of makes you say, wow, it's kind of nice in the cycle that you were in. You know, the Texans get DeMeco Ryans, you get Shane Steichen, and both of you are satisfied with where you're at currently. Both of you are saying, you know what, we feel very good a year later at this time to say we did well. We took steps in this, 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 and this. I mean, there's no question about the Texans. I don't think there's any question about the Indianapolis Colts. By no means am I saying the Colts have a top five head coach, but they certainly a year later aren't saying, you know what? We got to find out more about our head coach. We do. Now, you don't want to get complacent because the opinion of fans about Brian Daboll with the New York Giants this time last year compared to this time, well, right now, is he's going into a year that he's got to absolutely prove it. He's got to show this team's taking steps because they took a giant step back this past year. So it's not like, hey, you can sit back and feel comfortable. You got a head coach. He's still got to prove. You know, I mean, the play call at the end of the game, you know, that being the lasting image of the end of this year. Yeah. But he did this. Shane Steichen did this with a team that didn't, I mean, for the better part of the year, didn't have their first overall pick and didn't have their second round pick. Juju Brents didn't play a lot of the season. Anthony Richardson played the equivalent of three games, okay? Josh Downs was a nice pickup. Blake Freeland was in and out. You know, your defensive tackle from Northwestern really didn't play all that much. Darius Rush was in there, around five pick. Like, your best of the best draft picks didn't really play all that much. And yet you were still able to accomplish this because, you know, the success of 2012 when you drafted Andrew Luck, you drafted Kobe Flaner, Dwayne Allen, and T.Y. Hilton, and Chuck Pagano comes in and you make the playoffs that year, you could very well say, hey, that had a lot to do with that draft class. This year, you wouldn't say that at all. Like, you have some optimism for those draft picks. You feel like you had a good draft. But you really didn't get to see the full picture of this draft class due to injury, which I think is another type of, a little bit of a salute to Shane Steichen. He did it largely with a similar roster to last year. And had a backup quarterback for the majority of the year to navigate all of this. So going along with everything there, look, there are going to be hot coordinators everywhere. Remember, Brandon Staley, who was the Chargers head coach, was seen as a no-brainer head coach. And it didn't work out. Now, maybe he gets another opportunity elsewhere and shows that it was the Chargers. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, you've got to take a chance on a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, and there's always a couple that look great after year one. And there's always a couple after year one you're like, I'm not sure. And it kind of feels nice if you're an Indianapolis Colts fan to say, you know what? It's nice to be in that perspective to feel like you got it right, okay? Now, the other coaches that were out there that you brought in, like, again, it's crazy how things can change in one season from going to the Super Bowl last year, Nick Sirianni, to now this year where the expectation is he's going to be let go. That's the expectation. But I don't know about you. Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator from the Cowboys, how do you feel about interviewing him and bringing him in? I mean, he was previously a head coach, too. His previous spot moved on from him. How about offensive coordinator Ben Johnson from the Detroit Lions? Like, how much of it is Dan Campbell? How much of it is Ben Johnson? And maybe Ben Johnson, who wherever he lands, will show us immediately that he's a great head coach. That is very possible. But it's a gamble. I felt it was a gamble last year at this time after, you know, it was announced that the Colts were going to go in a different direction other than Jeff Saturday. And it kind of feels nice to be on the other end of this and say, you know what? You don't have to go into 2024's season saying, we got to find out if this head coach is for real. He's still got something to prove, but I don't see the questions of, hey, he's got to prove himself. Yeah, you know, hey, year number one was nice. Let's see what he's got now. I think everybody wants to see them make the playoffs, him included. But at the same time, there isn't this, hey, after this year, you got to start asking questions. If you don't see this, this, and this, it's clear the coaching philosophy made this team better. They finished games better. They were a little bit more physical, a little bit more innovative offensively, which are all the things you had hoped for when you brought in Shane Steichen. So you got to like that. That's got to feel some sort of security that way. And it kind of dawned on me there. You got Bill Belichick out there, Jim Harbaugh, maybe Pete Carroll, heck, I don't know. But then you got the traditional offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator route, and there will be hits and there will be misses. It is nice to not have to be in that cycle again. And I think, unfortunately, for Philadelphia's downfall, you see just how important those coordinators were. I don't know if it was Nick Sirianni. I think it was more Jonathan Gannon as defensive coordinator and Shane Steichen as offensive coordinator. So we'll touch on that as we go down the road. All right, when we come back, Kyle Smedley, Ball State Daily News, on tonight's big matchup for Ball State men's basketball. Next, Power Talk on CWMUN. Brought to you in part by Sheriff Gosselin Roofing. Your roof is there to protect your family. Make sure you're doing all you can to protect them. Sheriff Gosselin Roofing has been helping families for generations. Remember to call Pete Dahlia, look them up at worryfreeroof.com. I've seen a couple of these rolling during the break. We've got some school corporations that are calling us about tomorrow potential two-hour delays. Not going to mention any in specific, but I would say check your school corporation for tomorrow. The potential of more two-hour delays due to the cold. Just seeing that as we're working the phones here, taking a look at everything going on there. Just a heads up to you and your family. That's what we do here at WMUN. Speaking of big moments tonight, Ball State men's basketball at Eastern Michigan. Ball State Daily News reporter Kyle Smedley with us, as he normally does on Tuesdays. This is becoming a regular thing, Kyle. Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be, I guess, a regular guest and try to give as much insight as I can.
Okay, how would you describe if it was on a scale from 1 to 10 of positivity in the way that Ball State competed last week and how it helps them for the rest of the season, how would you describe or rate last week?
You know, as far as a ranking out of 10 for how they competed against the two best teams in the MAC, I mean, Coach Lewis said it. I would give about a 7 or 8. I mean, they competed about as well as you could against those teams without winning. You know, they're both, they didn't lose by more than 5 to either team. It was a game down to the very end for both games. I think they held a lead in the last 4 minutes of both games. And they just got to figure out a way to close out and finish. And like I always say, I don't know, but it's got to be hard to keep a motor going for 40 minutes. And the fact is, a lot of these starters for Ball State are playing more than 30 minutes.
So, again, I think a rating 7 out of 10 only kind of stays pat if maybe it starts this emphatically with a win tonight. Because if you look at last week and you don't get it done tonight and you don't look like you did last week, like if you play like you do last week, do you feel confident that Ball State gets this win tonight?
Yeah, I would say so. Eastern isn't the team that Toledo or Akron is. They're also 8-8, just like Ball State is. They've won one conference game. Ball State hasn't won any of those. But, you know, it is a road game. It's never easy to win on the road, especially in conference play. So, you know, Eastern might have a slight advantage, but they don't have a Bashir Jihad. And I'll say this as well. If Ball State plays like they did last week, they'll probably end up winning the game.
How do they avoid the because it's natural, right? You know you're playing the top of the top in two back-to-back games last week. How does this team avoid the walking in and maybe not playing with the aggressiveness? Now, I wouldn't want to say taking this team too lightly because I don't think that this coaching staff's going to allow them to take anybody too lightly at this point, being 0-4 Mid-American Conference play. But how do you put your foot on the gas and not come out slowly tonight?
Yeah, I mean, you make a good point. You see things like that happen all the time. I think if they had beat Akron or Toledo, you might see them come out a little less aggressive. They might have a little more confidence just because they beat one of those teams. But hanging with a team and beating a team are two very different things. I think that the players know just as well as the coaches know that they can't afford to take any team lightly, like you said, because they haven't won any of these conference games.
It's Kyle Smedley from the Ball State Daily News. We'll cover the Eastern Michigan Ball State men's basketball game tonight. Ball State on the road before coming back home a little bit later on this week. I think more so than anything, the game on Saturday against Toledo, Kyle, what stood out to me was, you know, when talking to coaches, and you do as well, they always describe winning in a variety of ways or competing in a variety of ways. And that was one of the two or three games in 16 games where they weren't just focusing on, hey, we got to get Bashir established and let everybody else work off of it. It was Jalen Anderson and Davion Bailey leading the way. What stood out about their performance and especially the evolution of this backcourt over the last couple of weeks with both healthy?
Yeah, I don't know if it was – I'm not sure because I didn't ask and just because I don't think that it was this, but I don't think they were necessarily trying to not work through Bashir. I just think that Toledo did a good job of guarding Bashir. You know, he's the number one option on the scouting report, and so he's going to get a lot more attention. We've seen that in the past, I don't know, 5 or 6 games. Obviously, he's performed well against Akron and the likes of other teams, but – Jalen Anderson and Davion Bailey, you know, they're both guys who can contribute when they're on. I mean, Jalen Anderson is a really nice facilitator of the offense when he's, I guess, on his game. You've seen him drop 29 points, 25 points. And he's not just dropping points. You know, he's getting assists. He's even getting rebounds, even though he plays point guard. And Davion Bailey is the guy that they're probably going to turn to more often than not to shoot a three. He had 11 attempts against Toledo. That's his game. You know, I talked to him before the season started, and he made it clear that was his game as well. And so I think he's got to be a little bit better with his shooting percentage. He's taking a lot of shots. He's probably not making quite as many as you'd want him to. Just shot 3 of 11 against Toledo. But you know what they say. You keep shooting it, eventually they're going
to
fall.
Yeah, and I want to go back to something you said about Bashir. I think it's a positive because as I listen to other coverage when Ball State plays an opponent or read stories or watch the telecast, they're always focusing on Bashir, which I think is only to Ball State's benefit as they get more guys involved. You know, I think they showed against Toledo, hey, if you're focusing on him being the number one matchup, and rightfully so, he's earned that right, it allows one-on-one opportunities for everybody else, Kyle.
Right. I mean, a lot of times, since Bashir's playing a lot in the post, they're going to double-team him a lot, and that means somebody's going to be open. And more often than not, if it's Davion or Jalen, they're probably going to take advantage and score. I just think that you need a little bit more consistency from Jalen and Davion. But they're certainly not bad options at all, and I especially like the way that trio could really come along well with Jalen facilitating, Davion shooting, and Bashir doing a lot of the work in the paint.
So biggest key tonight is what in your eyes?
What's that? I'm sorry.
The biggest key for Ball State men's basketball tonight is what in your eyes?
Yeah, I think it's probably three-point shooting. You know, they've done all right in the past few games at three-point shooting, but I thought against Akron and probably against Toledo too, that was what cost them. You probably got to do a lot better at getting offensive rebounds, or I guess preventing offensive rebounds as well. That was Lewis's biggest reason for why they lost to Toledo, was how many offensive rebounds they allowed. And so I know that that's an area of focus for this team, but when this team's hot from three, it's hard to beat them.
Kyle Smedley from the Ball State Daily News. All right, I'll ask you this because I talked a lot about the must-win stuff. Do you qualify this one as a must-win?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, these are games where I know it's a road game, but when it's a team on your level and it's in conference play and you've lost six straight, I can't really think of any reason why it's not a must-win. I mean, I know that guys are looking at this game as one that they can, and maybe some guys think they should win. And so if you want to establish any momentum, especially with how you played against Akron and Toledo, you got to win this one.
Okay, and as an aside, and it's not an aside because it's a big moment for Ball State women's basketball coming up this weekend, nationally televised game on Sunday night at 6 o'clock against Toledo at Worthen Arena. Again, you know, I know your focus is a lot on the men's basketball side, but you have covered this team a lot over the last couple of years. The moment and the spotlight that it is, not just for Mid-American Conference basketball, but for this women's basketball program that's won 14 of their first 16 games.
It's huge. And I'll tell you what, I know that Brady has been pushing for stuff like this for a long time. He's a big proponent of not just women's basketball, but MAC women's basketball. And if you've watched it over the past 3 years like I have, and even beyond that, a game like this deserves to be on national TV. Toledo and Ball State are the two best teams in the MAC, and they pretty much are every single year. They're the two most established programs. I believe the two longest tenured head coaches in there, and that's why these teams are good. They've got good leaders, and I mean, why wouldn't you want to have players like Allie Becky, Kenesha Lockett, and Nyla Hampton on national TV?
Yeah, it's going to be outstanding. Kyle Smedley, Ball State Daily News with us. We'll cover Eastern Michigan hosting Ball State tonight in Ball State men's basketball, and then the women face off against Central Michigan tomorrow on the road before they're back home Sunday, 6 o'clock, as they host Toledo, two teams 4-0 in Mid-American Conference play. You can follow Kyle on Twitter and always see his work at the Ball State Daily News website. Thanks, my friend. Look forward to talking to you further next week.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it.
All right, we will stop. I'm reading something that literally said stop. We are not stopping. We will continue to talk to Kyle. His work is fantastic. It's outstanding. Outstanding stuff talking to him. So you can hear the game between Ball State and Eastern Michigan a little bit later this evening right here on the Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN. So lots to recap coming up on tomorrow's show as it relates to that. We'll continue to talk a little bit of Colts, Pacers rolling as well. NFL-related games pick up, obviously, Saturday and Sunday as well. And we still have a lot of high school basketball rolling as well on the on this station. We'll tell you what's coming up later in the week. So big thanks to Kyle. Big thanks to all of you. We're back with you tomorrow, same time, same place right here on the Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN. Talk to you tomorrow at 4.